Honey, are you sure it was Emmeline and not Annie yourself? Okay, man, there was a bus rider dropped off on the property and she's not with me. So, Brother Mike, and you and Brother Burgos, her name is Emmeline, she has short hair, blonde hair. Who knows Emmeline, one of you kids? Benji, go with her. All right. My wife saw her and told her to come on in, but she didn't come in. I didn't see her. How about that? Did y'all see Emmeline tonight? No, we're talking about here, Marissa. All right, they'll check on her. They'll make sure she's here. Maybe she called her mom and went back home. Who knows? All right, good to see all of you here. We're glad that you're here. Before we go a little bit further, I'd like to ask the church for a motion. I brought an estimate to the deacons on getting lights put in the building over here, the gym building, and they feel like it's a good price. I'd like to ask the church to go ahead and give us permission to contact them to get them on the way. We've been using it now for 4 weeks with the Discovery Club on Wednesday nights, and then on Sunday nights, about 20 of the kids, and most of them are men, stay and play ball, and they're playing with yard lights over there. So if we could get a motion, and while they're here, it's Action Air for $9,500. We'll put up 15 LED lights, high bay lights. And while they're here, to ask them to move one air conditioner from the Discovery building over to the front of the building and get it already connected. There's two 5-ton units over there in that building. We're going to move one over and get them already moving on that. Is there any questions on that? And I have a motion to do so. Brother Stacy, Brother Victor, all in favor? Any opposed? All right. So we'll contact them and get them rolling. They got to get a permit and get things going that way. It's going to take a little bit, but we really need those lights over there. That'd be a big help. All right. Let's go back to our thought from last week. I told y'all that Proverbs 28:9 is where we'll begin. I covered most of it, so tonight I'd only go 7 minutes. Now, I wasn't quite in the moment back then. So when I said 7 minutes, I was looking in the future, and 7 minutes seemed like a long time. We'll see. But we're going to do a little bit of digression, go back and do a little covering. Proverbs 28:9. I won't spend a whole lot of time on the stuff that we did. I'll just hit the highlights of it and get right into the other one. Proverbs 28:9. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Now, what's an abomination? An abomination is something that is detestable or repulsive to God. I told you that we don't need to be like some old cool, cold suitor that comes up trying to win the heart of some young lady. I mean, got to connect. You can't come up there just talking, way out yonder, like, "Well, I had a good day at work. You going to dinner with me?" No, she ain't going to dinner with you. No, she's not. You got to break into, you got to ease into the thing. So what I'm telling you is, when you start talking to God, it'd be good just tell him how much you love him. What we do is, most of us, we jump out, like when we have a flat. We jump out and grab the spare tire, start jacking up, putting it on. And sometimes, like, love God. Soon as we have trouble, we jump into the prayer like he's a spare tire. Hadn't needed him, hadn't talked with him, hadn't spent no time with him. Second thing I told you was this. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer but that which lies beyond the will of God for my life. Nothing. If it's in the will of God for my life, now listen, it might not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week. It might be, down the road a little bit, you just have to wait. But nothing that's in the will of God for your life lies beyond. Matter of fact, what is Jeremiah 33:3, I think. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Is that how it goes? That thou knowest not. I mean, nothing lies beyond our prayer life except that which is beyond the will of God for our life. And I told you also, we must be on good ground with God. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we've got to be on good ground. That means that we've got to be mindful that God's not a spare tire. One day Bentley called me, Dad, I got a flat. I said, okay, be over. No, I don't know where she's at. I told her, I said, well, we'll get this tire, we'll get it changed, or something like that. Got to looking for the spare tire, and you know what Chevrolet had done in her little spark? They had mounted a can of Fix-A-Flat in the car from the factory, a can of Fix-A-Flat. Not even a spare. Some of you think God's a can of Fix-A-Flat. He ain't even your spare. You got to remain on good ground. You got to remain on good ground. Also, I told you, it's not good enough that prayer is offered for just a simple good object. There are some good things, dear friend. They're really good things that we... But just because it's a good thing doesn't mean God's going to answer it. You must have a yielded heart. A broken and contrite heart is the sacrifices that God's looking for. Psalms 51. I told you last week, God's not going to hear the prayer of a lost man outside of that first prayer of, Lord, I need you. Save me. I need you. Give me an example. Cornelius' prayer was just man. Feared God. Gave alms. The Lord moved an evangelist over there to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with him, and he got saved. God wanted to deal with the soul first. He wanted to talk to him about eternity, and that's important. It's kind of hard to withdraw something when nothing's been deposited, correct? Just how it is with God. We want to withdraw on something, but there's been no deposit made. We could trust God, but you can pray and trust God with a bill, but you can't pray and trust God with your soul for eternity. Okay, second thing. That old pharisaical prayer that many times we offer up, how good we are, how much we've done, and we're looking down upon others. We're looking down upon others. And as we look down upon them, I thank God I'm not as this public. God's not interested in that. He is not interested in that at all. And we went through the Lord's Prayer, it's an example. And he said this, in this manner, pray. So it's an example. It's not what we repeat, but the elements in there. The elements in the Lord's Prayer, worship, humility, a request, acknowledgement, glorification, all the elements that are in there. All of them. That's how we approach God. Now tonight, I told you, over in Isaiah 59:1, this is where we pick up. In the book of Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Isaiah I don't believe that the Lord's interested in hearing the prayer of a disobedient Christian. I don't believe at all. Okay, listen here what it says in Psalms 59, verse number 1. Behold, Isaiah 59, 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities has separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. And listen to what he says. That he will not hear. He will not hear. This is what the Bible says. Well, yeah, Pastor, that's way back down in the Old Testament. You know, the God of the Old Testament is God of the New Testament. He is. This is talking about a personal relationship with God. What your God, but your iniquity, it's personal. You. A lot of times they say, well, you know, it's so-and-so that's hindering my prayers. No, your iniquities, and you have caused this, and you've separated that. Look over in James, just so we have a good understanding of this. Look in James, chapter number 1. Look in verse 6 and verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith. Okay, we're asking, we're praying. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. So prayer is asking, it's talking, beseeching, putting forth a petition. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Tell you something, dear friend. Sin will it will cause you to have an unbelief that God is capable. See, sin separates. Whether I'm standing in my iniquity and walking around carrying the burden of sin that is rightfully been taken away as a child of God, because He died on the cross, Isaiah 53, and my iniquity, our iniquities, have been placed upon Him. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And if I choose, dear friend, to walk around and to live and handle and carry the burden of that sin in me, it will cause unbelief. It'll make us think that our God's not able. But I'm telling you, dear friend, whether I choose to walk around that sin or I choose to say, God, please forgive me and please take this away and I put it under blood and Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive. It doesn't diminish or enlarge God. God is God. But sin blinds us. And sin, that sin of unbelief will cause us not to see God as who He is. Look over, you know, we're not going there, but Isaiah's good example is Isaiah. When the king died, finally, he was able to see God lifted and holy on his throne. And he saw it and he said, woe is me. Woe is me. The Bible says here that don't think that man, what man? The one that stands in unbelief, that doubtful petitioner, the one that is not even sure that God can even forgive what they've done. Let me tell you something, dear friend. The blood of Christ can cover all sin. He's faithful and just. But this is what sin does. My iniquity has separated me. My iniquity, my sin has made it to where the Lord will not hear me. Look in James chapter 5. Flip over to James chapter 5. In verse 5. James 5:15, I'm sorry. James 5:15. Listen to what it says. The prayer of faith The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith. Unbelief, dear friend. You cannot approach God with an unsteady hand of unbelief. Wavering to and fro, double-minded man. Well, maybe God can forgive. Maybe God can take it. Maybe God can handle this. And we're playing, you know, the old game. You can't slap my hand with God. You know how you play with the kids? You put your hand out there and say, you hit my hand, and you know, you're supposed to move it. That's what we do. God, please take this. And God reached, take it, and we pull back. God, you can't. That prayer of unbelief. You have to pray in faith, believing. Look over in Mark chapter 11. Boy, that 7 minutes is gone, hasn't it? Yeehaw. Mark chapter 11. Y'all didn't drive all the way out here to Boggy Creek for 7 minute devotion. Mark chapter 11. I told you Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, what does it say to believe? Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It means that's how we approach God, because of sin that's in our life. I believe a lot of times, dear friend, if you walk around with that, listen, an old unforgiving spirit won't forgive somebody, and then want to approach God for help. I'm not, listen, you don't have to agree with them, but when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You, listen, you got loved ones, you got close friends walking in sin, and you've talked with them about it, and maybe they've even sinned against you. And you will not forgive them. Well, when they approach me, I'll forgive them. When they approach me, I'll take care of them. But dear friend, that unforgiving spirit, you walk up there to God. Listen, for Christ's sake, forgive. Forgive. A lot of times, like over in James 4, 3, we just ask amiss. How many of you got multiple children? Some of you got single children, got one child, and you call every child in the neighborhood trying to get a hold of your child when they've done something wrong. I'm telling you, when Kinley has done something wrong, Bentley, Benji, Riley, Kinley, I'm calling them all. Trying to get there, and that's how we just throw prayers out. We think we're in a parade, you know, with God, just throwing candy out. Just asking a miss. Just spitting here and spitting there and spitting here and spitting there. Prayers that mean absolute nothing, just asking a miss. And then we sit back and sulk and say, well, God, you ain't answered none of my prayers. You ain't answered none of them. Praying will make, listen, I honestly believe this. Praying will help us to cease from sinning. It will help us to cease from sinning. And listen, and vice versa, if I'm living in sin, I ain't wanting to pray. You can't have it both ways. I'm going to live in sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord, not hear me. If I want to live in sin, dear friend, I'm not going to pray. I'm not. I am not going to pray. But if I'm praying, dear friend, I'm telling you, God will open up a magnifying glass, a spiritual magnifying glass in our life and say, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. This has got to go. Hey, you was wrong in this. You got to get things right. You got to get things right. And then the last one. This is an amazing thing here. I'm not going to go over and read. Yeah, I guess I am. Luke chapter 16. I want you to know tonight. Those prayers that are made in hell. Prayers that are made in hell. Luke 16. What in the world are you talking about? Well, Luke 16 is a story about a real man. real beggar and a real rich man. Luke 16. And look here at verse number 19. And we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. I'm going to say a few things, and then we're going to close it up. Here we go. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, or there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither they there can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to him, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they will hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one of those from one rose from the dead. Now, if you read that story, you understand something. There was a prayer for mercy, verse 24. But Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says there's no name under heaven. You're going to get saved here. You're not getting there. Nowhere in this passage we read ever did the prayer ever reach the ear of God, did it? Nowhere. Matter of fact, the rich man didn't even request God. He talked to Father Abraham, hoping that maybe Father Abraham maybe would pass it on. But Father Abraham, which was a friend of God according to Scripture, never said, hold up, let me talk to God. Why do you think there's Abraham there? What did Abraham do in Sodom and Gomorrah? In Sodom and Gomorrah, whenever God was down there fixing to destroy that thing and wreak havoc all over Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham interceded with who? With God. Abraham here, he didn't turn to God. He didn't turn and intercede on behalf of God. God's not hearing that prayer. So I'm tell you this, it's a Wednesday night. Different. I got saved on a Wednesday night. Saved on a Wednesday night while my pastor was preaching through the Old Testament. I want you to know tonight, dear friend, you've got to settle this thing here on earth called salvation. What you're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ must be done now. Not once you get to hell. This is a prayer of a rich man in hell that never reached the ear of God. Never reached the ear of God. He prayed for mercy in verse number 24. What did he say? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The Lord wants to have mercy tonight, dear friend. Jesus Christ died that you might have eternal life, and that you need to cry for mercy today. Today is the day of salvation. I mean, he prayed a prayer of comfort. Look here at verse 24. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He was praying for comfort. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that we are to comfort those whereby we've been comforted. There's no comfort there, dear friend. None. Not even a little bit. Verses 27 through 31, this rich man prayed that a witness would go. Okay, you're not going to come help me. You're not going to come take care of me. You're not going to bring a tip of folk. You're not going to reach down here. He prayed for a witness to go. Well, wait a minute. God says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Abraham said to him, those that are there are not here. You can't come. We can't come there. And if we did send one, we've already sent. Abraham said, if they will not hear the Moses and the prophets, they're going to hear one that's been rose from the dead. There's one already risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Dear friend, I'm telling you, dear sons, if in eternity in hell, dear friends, a real place, and without Christ, you're there forever and ever and ever and ever. Rememberest thou in thy lifetime? There's some prayers that God's just not going to hear according to the Bible. It's a little too late, dear friend, to pray in hell. Look at verse 25. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things? The goodness of God brings men to repentance. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Son, remember? Remember? Dear friend, if you go to hell without Christ, you'll remember this message. You'll remember every message where Jesus Christ was lifted up. And you had opportunity. You had opportunity to trust him and to present yourself unto him for salvation. And he'll say, remember? Remember that old bald-headed preacher up there told you 7 minutes? Remember? Here's some things I want you to listen to. If I wasn't saved tonight, I wouldn't put it off another day. I wouldn't put it off. I'd get saved not because pastors prompt you. I'd get saved because Jesus Christ loves you. I'd get saved because God sent his only begotten Son that he might save you as an individual. How precious that is. How precious that is. Hey, listen, dear friend, if I was a disobedient Christian and not doing right by God, I'd get things right. There are some definite things in the Bible that we as God's people should be following. And if I'm living contrary to that, I would get it right, dear friend, because Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 is it's God's mind on the matter. You're naked. And listen, we don't need a spare tire. We need a God at hand. We need a God when we need him. We just need to be able to talk with him. And if I was that old praying Pharisee, I would just come along by myself and I'd get humble. Because that prayer of pride and you know, lifting up, self-righteousness. Oh, dear friend. That is not going to get you anywhere. When I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Paul, a great man, said this about himself. I am chiefest of sinners. Chiefest of sinners. I mean, a great man. You're talking about knowing Bible. Listen, he went to jail, was shipwrecked, he was snake bit. He had brethren that forsook him. And his testimony was, I am chiefest of sinners. Anybody had reason to be proud. It probably was Apostle Paul. Now, I know the devil will trick us and make us think that we have reason to be proud. But I think it'd be best to follow God's word. God says, he that humble himself, I will exalt. But he that wants to lift himself up in pride, comes a fall. Comes a fall. Let's stand our feet. Brother Jim, let's sing a song of invitation. One verse. If you don't move, good friend, we're going to get these buses running. So we don't have a pen. That's okay. God hears words. 161, church.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home.
About 13. Should have been in my